Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello, everyone. This is Dennis. I have a buzz here. There, I think that takes care of it. I just had to make sure that my microphone was completely plugged in. Hi, this is The Bible on Trial, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry. Today is February 2. Most people say February, but okay. 2018, and we are delighted that you have taken some time out of your busy schedule, either live or on Memorex, to join us today. I know, that's how old I am. To join us today for our Bible study and our discussion. If, what we talked about in the show prep is what we're going to do on the show, we're going to have a wonderful time. I encourage you right now to go. Oh, what's going on? Oh, yeah, Amazon's delivering. Oh, well. That's fine. She's our doorbell. Where was I? I encourage you to go to our chat room and take a look around. I've posted our websites. The main one is spiritoftruthministry.net. Our original website, spiritoftruthministry.net/STM, where those last three letters are in caps. We also have our email at spiritoftruthministry@gmail.com. And by the way, you've noticed the trend towards Spirit of Truth Ministry name. We also have our mailing address. You can mail us whatever you like, anything that you think that we need to see that you can't send via email or post on our website. You can send to Spirit of Truth Ministry at Post Office Box 1013, Cala Mesa, California, 92320. And I'll change that last one. I just did it automatically. 92320 is the zip code. So if you have any questions or comments today, you can post them on our website, post them on our chat room, or if you decide to and you want to take a risk, and we'll be delighted to have you call us. And if you want to get on the air, go ahead and push number one on your keypad, and that will put a little icon up that will let me know that you want to say something, and we'll get you on the air. Let's have a prayer. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we honor your names. Thank you for being here with us in spirit and in truth. Thank you for guarding us against evil while we are doing this and after, so that we are not confused, so that we have clarity of mind and thought. Father, please make it possible for us to move from opinion to thoughtful fact today as we study your words. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Suzette.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning.
Oh, you know, Don, you still say your voice is a little bit rough. I still love you. You still have a great FM radio announcer voice.
Do you have anybody on remote?
We had guest number 120.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Not somebody we know.
So, good morning, Rick. Now, Rick has got his face mask on today, which we are grateful for, because he is just recovering now from a little bout with the flu that his lovely and gracious wife so generously shared with him, and we're glad that they have a wonderful sharing relationship. So there you go,
yeah.
Rick.
For 2 months continuously, I've been exposed to whatever this.
One thing right after the other.
And I was doing pretty well, and I made the mistake of saying, well, maybe God is going to keep me well, and that was all I needed to say. And, of course, I didn't blame God because I did get this, because, you know, you've heard of Job, right? Job had a very terrible experience, horrific experience. And he thought God was doing it to him.
Well, he was told by his friends
thought it was God that was doing it to him because he'd probably done something horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if he had only known that it was the devil, and that he was basically demonstrating that his righteousness was more than just lip service. And we could all learn a lesson from that.
And that is a very good lesson.
I have started writing the latest article, which I think is going to be right up there at the top of the best of what I have written. I'm not claiming that anything I've written has been great, but that's what makes an article great is it helps someone understand something that they hadn't understood before. But this one is on the two kingdoms, and I've written an article on the two kingdoms before, but nothing like this.
Apropos, by the way, just I forgot one thing. Our WordPress website totals today 18,280.
Wow.
So we've increased a good deal since the last time.
You have 509.
Linda.
You
want to say hi.
Good morning, Linda.
These two kingdoms, and I've mentioned this before, I'm going to say it again because I'm going to try and pull everything together so it makes sense, hopefully. There are two spiritual kingdoms involved on this earth. Two spiritual kingdoms. I'm sure that you all are well acquainted with the spiritual kingdom of God. I've talked about that. The spiritual kingdom of God is a kingdom in which it's a spiritual kingdom ruled by spiritual beings. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is a spiritual kingdom of the world also. And I just recently realized this. And when I came to the realization that there is a spiritual kingdom of the world, excuse me. Everything just fell in place. When we are born on our birthday, we are born from flesh and blood, our mother. We enter the world of flesh and blood. As we grow and develop, we learn things. How to use the potty. How to eat and how to how to let our mother or our father know when we're hungry. We learn how to interact with others. And then we go to church. If your parents are church-going people, we go to church. We learn with little activities like felt boards and drawing pictures. And that is the beginning. That is the beginning of our spiritual connection. Those of our listeners will know by now, I'm sure, that I have come to the understanding, and please know that I'm not saying that this has got to be right because I came to this understanding. What I'm saying is I came to this understanding and everything fell into place. So I'm hoping it does the same thing for you. But we connect with the spiritual realm with our intellect. That is how we enter and operate in the spiritual realm, is with our intellect. We are not spiritual beings. We are not born as spiritual beings. We do not become spiritual beings. But we have two spiritual kingdoms here on earth. The kingdom of Elohim, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a spiritual kingdom. And the kingdom of the world, which is ruled over by the ruler of this world, who is a spiritual being who goes by several names: Lucifer, Satan, Evil One, Great Deceiver, Dragon, Ancient Serpent. And I think now I understand, as I've looked for the symbols and what they represent in prophecy. In Revelation 12, we see two symbols there, primary symbols. One is the woman who is about to give birth. She appears in heaven. There's the key. If we see a symbol and we are told that this symbol is in the heavens, we know it has to represent spiritual. It has to represent spiritual because the heavens is the spiritual realm where only spiritual beings can live. There's also in the heavens a great red dragon. Now the woman has a crown. This crown has 12 stars, and it's a Stephanos crown, which is victory. The Stephanos is that laurel leaf crown.
And who's wearing it?
The woman. And then there's this great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. And 7 crowns, the crowns are on the head. And I realized that this great dragon represents the spiritual kingdom of the world ruled over by Satan and his spiritual being, fallen angel hierarchy. That's where we have the 7 heads. And in Revelation, the next chapter, Revelation 13, we see a beast that comes out of the sea that has seven heads and 10 horns and 10 crowns, one crown on each one of the horns. This is representing the physical kingdom of the world, the nations. And then we're told in there that the dragon gives his throne and his power and great authority to this beast. So what we are seeing is that this physical realm kingdom has a connection with the spiritual realm, kingdom of the dragon. And what is it if the truth that allows us to enter the kingdom of God, what is it that allows us to enter the kingdom of the world, the spiritual kingdom of the world? Lies. Absolutely.
I'm sorry, I just have to interject something. We had a couple of nice young ladies come to the door just right now, and Maggie here just started to, you know, bark a little bit. So I picked her up and I took her out and I said, you know, we're on the radio, or we're doing our show called The Bible on Trial, and this one girl started to reach for Maggie, and Maggie goes, and they both kind of step back. I almost said, well, that takes care of that. So Maggie is again, she is a good guard dog.
So here is here's how this works. Like I said, when we're born, we enter this physical realm. As we grow, we start to learn. We learn, we go to school, we learn how to work with figures, numbers, we learn history, social studies, reading, spelling, blah, blah, blah. And what we are taught, we are supposed to retain that knowledge so that we can use it as we advance on through our education. When we go to church, we are also taught, you know, this is what the Bible says. And so we learn spiritual matters as well as physical matters, physical information. And as I discovered, a lot of what I learned in school turned out to be not as accurate as they would have wanted me to believe.
1969 biology, the Krebs cycle. I've mentioned this before.
Right.
Memorized it. Turns out 20 years later, it's all wrong. Literally, the adenosine triphosphate model and how they worked all that out was completely wrong.
ATP and NTP.
Right. 1969. I was with Dr. Milliken in biology at university.
Oh, yeah, the Krebs cycle was known, and they had all figured out with the ATP and NTP and all that stuff. They had it all figured out, and it turns out that that's not the way it worked.
I learned the Krebs cycle also from Dr. Lewis at San Bernardino Valley College. Memorized it, that's what the test was, is the Krebs cycle. I had to put all the, where the ATPs and
right.
MTPs and all of that came off. And the,
and it was the process.
And so that was the,
that, in stone.
That, listen, that was the undeniable scripture right
that
there.
Was,
that,
that was the doctrine. So carry on.
Wow.
We find out that the spiritual things are the same.
So here's a, well, and history too, because now we're finding out things about history that go against what I learned in history.
Wow.
Now the unfortunate thing is that learning the structure of darkness does not help us at all. Because when we learn what maintains the darkness, we ourselves are helping to maintain the darkness. No one, no one who has ever exited their mother's womb on this earth has known the truth. As it relates to spiritual matters and even some physical matters.
Well, of course, there's one person that did.
Well, that's what I was just going to say.
Yes.
And the reason that one person, who is, of course, the Son of God, when he exited his mother's womb, he did so because he left the spiritual realm where he existed and lived and entered the physical realm, and this was the way he had to do it.
Isn't it interesting that he could not exist in the physical realm where he was previously? You see, living in the spiritual realm means that you can't live there in the physical realm. Now, that changes. That changes when you become spiritual. You know, 24 elders, whoever they are living in the spiritual realm, the kingdom of God. Are they living there simply as physical beings?
Well, actually, I believe that most of, almost all of the 24 elders were resurrected from their sleep of death.
When Jesus was resurrected from the grave.
Two exceptions that I know of.
Right.
Elijah and Enoch.
Well, and Moses.
Moses died.
Oh, that, well, that's right.
That's
right.
What I'm saying.
That's right.
So, that is why Jesus is called the Son of God and the Son of Man. As the Son of God, he's a spiritual being. As the Son of Man, he's a flesh and blood being. He entered this realm for one purpose. One. That, Dennis.
John 18:37. For this reason I was born, for this reason I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is, and I will insert a word, already of the truth, hears my voice. And why do I insert already? Because that's the context. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So you have to be of the truth.
Well, let me,
prior to,
let me say this. I'm not saying, Dennis, that's not the case. But I think that there's a word that might help us understand a little better. Anyone who is open.
True.
To the truth.
Open to the truth, yes. Well, and that's what, and again, that's the context of already. That's that whole thing.
Well, no one is already in the truth.
No. No, but what I mean is you're already you're already in the mode. You're already
right. So
you're
open.
Previously.
So you're open. And like I said, I'm not arguing with you, Dennis.
No, I agree.
I'm just I'm saying. In my writing of this article, I came across this quote by from John F. Kennedy, and I thought, man, this is really he was very perceptive. And he said this in his commencement address at Yale University on June 11, 1962. The great enemy of truth is very often than not the lie, deliberate, contrived, and dishonest, but the myth, persistent, persuasive, and unrealistic. Too often we hold fast to the cliches of our forebears. We subject all facts to a prefabricated set of interpretations. We enjoy the comfort of opinion without the discomfort of thought. And I'm sure that you have heard the phrase, the term always used, well, you're entitled to your opinion.
Did you happen to mention who said that quote and when?
Yeah.
See, to me, this is extra. I have the most playful cat in the world. I'm going to have to throw her out. She's playing with an electrical cable. That would be shocking. Anyway, I find it fascinating that there are a variety of thinkers in this world that span the entire, I'm talking about people who can actually think, that span the entire panoply of, how would you put it, political spectrum. And when you listen to them, it almost seems unworldly, even though they definitely were of this world. So here we have John F. Kennedy giving this commencement address and saying this. You see, if we had to categorize him today, we would categorize him in a different context than he probably intended back in 1962 or whenever that was. You see, what's the difference between people who think about these things and who simply feel about these things?
Well, I have one answer. The devil's had 50 plus years to perfect it. He's got a lot of people under his control, and he's had 50 years to hone that. Things get worse every day.
Yep. You've heard of Albert Einstein, right? Theory of relativity and a few other brilliant minds. In fact, after his death, they took his brain out to study his brain. He said this, blind, that's a keyword, belief in authority is the greatest enemy of truth. Now, the authority here would be the religious authorities or the scientific authorities or the historical authorities, anyone who claims or is credentialed in a certain discipline considers themselves an authority on the subject.
Please repeat that one more time.
Blind belief in authority is the greatest enemy of truth. When John started his Gospel, chapter 1. I believe that John understood this. And that is why this is how he started his account of his accompanying his teacher for a little over a year. In the beginning was the Word. That is kind of odd, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning was the Word. But what is the Word? What is the Word? Let me read from John chapter 6 and let's start with verse 42, 41. Jesus was aware that his followers were complaining about it and said, "Does this upset you?" Oh, he had just said, "You must eat my flesh and drink my blood."
And, many of them had said, "Yuck."
What if you should see the Son of Man? Look at the word right there. Ascend. What if you should see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? What is he saying? He is a spiritual being. He came from the spiritual realm. He's going back to the spiritual realm. And then he says this, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh has nothing to offer. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. In the beginning was the Word. John is starting this out in a spiritual context. The Word is spirit. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And now down to verse 6. A man came, sent by God. His name was John. He came as a witness. Very, very important. He came as a witness. He didn't come as a savior, although, yes, he did save. He came as a witness. And what was he, why did he come as a witness? As a witness to speak for the light.
Wow.
So that everyone might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came as a witness to speak for the light. So John the Baptist came as a witness to the light, but he didn't quite fully get it. So what do we know about John the Baptist? Because John, the disciple here, says he was not the light. If he was not the light, what was he? He was not a witness to the truth, which is the light.
Mm-hmm.
So he was not the light who came to witness the truth, but he came to witness to the witness who was coming.
I see. Second level.
The Word was the light that enlightens all men. He was coming into the world. He was in the world that had its being through him. And the world did not know him. Okay, so what is John meaning here by the world? The spiritual kingdom of darkness. The people were in the spiritual darkness. As he goes on to say, he came to his own domain. His own people did not accept him. Why? Because they were in the spiritual kingdom of the world. The darkness, the spiritual darkness. But to all who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God. To all who believe in the name of him, who was born not out of human stock or urge of the flesh or will of man, but of God himself. Why do you think John so very clearly goes through all of that? Well, because he knew what Paul was doing. John wrote this after Paul had written his letters. And John was making sure that people understood that he was not saying that Jesus was born by urge of the flesh, which is what Paul says in Romans 1:1-3. The Word, the Spirit, was made flesh. He lived among us. So he came into the darkness. He was a light and he came in the darkness. Now, when he called his disciples, were his disciples all living in the spiritual kingdom of God, in the kingdom of light and truth?
They didn't even know about
it. Right. They were in darkness. They were in darkness. Was there anyone, when the Son of God came here to earth, was there anyone in the land who was in the spiritual kingdom of God?
No, not one.
Yet, you talk to Christians today, and you ask them if they are in God's kingdom, and what will they tell you?
Oh, of course, yes.
And when you ask them, well, how do you know, what will they tell you?
Well, most of them will say something that has to do with either emotion or feeling. They know that they're in the kingdom of God because they feel good about what they believe.
And they can give you the date that they were made.
Because Jesus
died for them.
Died for their sins.
Right.
And they have accepted him as their personal savior. And then if you should ask them, well, what is the truth? And what will they tell you? Jesus is the truth. They don't, yeah. But see, to them, if they have accepted Jesus as their personal savior,
right,
then they have the truth. So even though they believe a lie, mm-hmm, practice a lie, worship a lie, live a lie.
And the big one is claiming that the Holy Spirit told them all of this, which is a lie. I mean, they claim that the Holy Spirit told them that they were saved by grace through faith.
They claim
that the Holy Spirit is the one that is leading them to the on the path on which they are going.
Yeah.
And that claim is saying that the Holy Spirit lies.
Because
they are believing a lie and they're practicing a lie. And they're saying it is the fault of the Holy Spirit that they are doing that.
Well, they're saying the Holy Spirit, well, they're not saying this, but in fact, this is what they are saying.
Correct. That's what I'm, yes.
Is that the Holy Spirit told me the lie, and so I believe it.
I believe it, right.
Wow.
No, see, again, but they don't believe it's a lie.
Well, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
And so how convoluted is that? This is one of the great... This is one of the reasons why we know that Satan is probably the greatest intellect, created intellect that ever lived, that ever existed, because he could figure this out. So what is it going to take for God to eliminate that level of confusion.
Now, I can tell you right now that unless you open yourself up to learning the truth, you are firmly stuck in the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of darkness. When the Son of God started it, well, when he was born, when he started his ministry, there was not one person on the face of the earth who knew the truth about God. That is why it was all darkness. That's why the light had to come into the darkness. That is why it was so important that the Son of God told Pilate, "For this reason I was born and came into the world, the darkness, is to testify the truth." Why? Because the truth did not have a witness to testify on its behalf. That's why he came here. If he only came here to die on the cross, the world would still be in darkness. He would be dying to try and save people in the darkness. And that is not, he can't. He won't do that. He's not dying for people to be saved who are in the darkness. He came here to testify to the truth because people need to learn the truth in order to enter his kingdom. And the only way that they were going to learn the truth was if he told them what the truth was. That's the only way. And so what did the devil do? Well, he brought in his own perfectly constructed lie. First of all, he uses a guy that first, he was persecuting the truth. And then all of a sudden, he has a total flip, 180 degrees. And now he's operating on behalf of the truth. Well, that must mean that he is telling the truth because here he was persecuting the truth, and now he's preaching the truth.
I've always had a question on that one. Why wasn't he instructed that on the ground, when he was before this bright light, that ground was holy, like Moses?
Yeah. That's what I said. Exactly.
Very good point.
I mean, if the ground was holy for Moses, it should have been for him.
Because the bright light and the voice speaking out of it was not holy.
Right.
It's also what prompted John to say this in 2 John, starting with verse 7. "There are many deceivers about in the world refusing to admit that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh." Why did Jesus Christ come in the flesh?
Because the people he was coming to were in the flesh.
Yes. But why did Jesus say he came in the flesh?
To testify to the truth.
To testify to the truth. So those who deny that he came in the flesh are not denying that he was flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. They're denying the reason for which he came in the flesh. You know, Paul says that he didn't learn his testimony from anybody. He learned it from God. God gave Paul all the information that he was preaching. And he said, "I don't care what any other man has said. I don't care what the apostles are saying. I don't care, you know, they got their information from that other guy." Paul is denying the testimony of Jesus. He is denying, he sees it as a threat to his teaching. And this is what John is talking about here.
Okay, just had a thought. Paul is not saying that Jesus did not come.
Yeah.
He's saying that Jesus as a spiritual being, as a composite spiritual being, did not come to this earth. He is saying that the only way to get the true information from God is to get it through a spirit, not through a human being. And since Jesus was a human being, he doesn't, what he said doesn't count as being given by the Spirit of God. You see, Paul had visions and he had dreams in which the spirits taught him what he called the truth about salvation, which is 180 degrees away from what Jesus taught. Mm-hmm. Jesus came as a spiritual being and taught the truth from God.
What Jesus said, that he came, that for this reason I was
born,
came in the flesh,
right,
and came into the world, was to testify to the truth. Who wrote that?
John. An eyewitness to the testimony. Yeah.
So what John is saying here, and we know this by what he goes on to say, what John is saying is that those who deny that Jesus came in the flesh are denying his testimony because they're denying the reason for which he came into the world.
And we see this in 2 John, the epistle.
That's what I'm reading.
That's what I mean. We see that there. And see, again, the thing that is astonishing to me, it's literally astonishing, is that people will accept the words of a spirit. Oh, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. The Holy Spirit told me to do that. You hear this all the time, don't you?
Yeah.
They will accept that as the truth from God because it's their personal Savior who's giving this to them.
And it is their personal preference.
And it's their personal preference to accept the words of an amorphous, entity, some kind, an entity without physical body.
Wow. Yeah.
They'll accept that before they will accept
an ethereal being.
Yes. Okay. Better. An ethereal being. They'll accept the words, the impressions that they get from an ethereal being before and above what they will accept from the eyewitness testimony to a physical being who, by all accounts, was sent directly from God to this earth. So what I'm looking at is, it's kind of the same thing when people say, well, I don't believe in creation, that's just a hoax. And then you point out, for instance, the eyeball, and how did that come about? Well, that could not have come about by evolution. It's impossible. You even Darwin said that it couldn't. Mm-hmm. All right. And so you have all of these people who are trying to use earthly logic to explain a heavenly situation. Jesus is the only one who could do that because he's the only one, and he said it. I'm the only one who came from God, mm-hmm. and I'm the only one who's going back.
Yeah.
You see?
So what John is saying is these deceivers are refusing to admit that Jesus Christ came here in the flesh to testify to the truth. And the reason that I know that, even testify the truth isn't there. They are the deceiver. They are the antichrist. Watch yourselves or all our work will be lost. What is John's concern and what is John's work? What is John's concern and what is John's work?
That the testimony of Jesus will be lost.
Right.
And not get the reward it deserves. If anybody does not keep within teaching, and what is another word for that?
Testimony
of Christ, the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
but goes beyond it, he cannot have God with him. Only those who keep to what he taught can have Father and the Son with them. If anyone comes to you bringing a different doctrine, you must not receive him in your house or even give him a greeting. To greet him would make you a partner in his wicked work.
Wow. Okay, how far should we take that? Yeah, maybe invite somebody to our house. I really thought about that. How far do we take that? I think we discussed really this.
Now, that's he's talking about those who are teaching. Those who are teaching.
Are proclaiming.
They go beyond the teaching.
Keep those out of the house.
Yes.
In fact, I would go so far as to say that you don't go into their house, which means if you go to church and you're listening to that crap, you are outside of compliance. And I'm not saying that you don't
be nice.
Church. I'm not doing that. No. But what this is saying is that we have to be extremely aware of the teachings of these people and understand the differences between what Jesus said and what they're saying.
So we need to think about that which is not so obvious. Why was the Son of God here? Who stands to lose the most by a witness for the truth? The devil.
The devil. I was going to say
he stands to lose the most.
The being that is propagating the lie.
Yes.
Yeah.
So are we to believe that he goes, well, I guess I can't do anything now because the Son of God came down here to tell the truth, so everybody's going to be, they're going to know what the truth is, so I might as well pick up my toys and go home. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's what he did? No, he says, I'm going to come up with something, and it's going to make his testimony mean nothing because I know these people. I know how to work with them. I started out in the garden, and I have had tremendous success. The world is mine. Aha, I am the darkness, and everybody is in the darkness. I just need to have a good way to keep them there post-testimony of testimony to the truth. As he, and of course he waited until the Son of God had gone back to the Father. He already had most of the disciples. I mean, what did Peter do? Peter denied in very colorful language that he was a disciple sitting around the fire there, which he was very sorrowful for afterward. But I mean, he did it. And we read that when the disciples went to Galilee, where they were told to go there and that they would see their master there just before he left, they saw someone on the beach while they were in the boat casting their nets, and they was motioning to them or whatever, and so they came in. And as Peter saw that it was his Lord, he wraps his clothes up, hops out of the boat in the water, and runs. And it says that when they all arrived there, they worshiped him, although some hesitated. If the devil could successfully keep the disciples wondering if they hadn't been totally and completely deceived by this man? Where do we stand? I mean, we can get so smug in our assurance that we could never be deceived, and we have the Bible, and God is going to protect us. That's what the devil wants us to believe. That's where he wants us. Because when we feel safe and secure in God's love, we have opened ourselves up wide open for deception. Why? Because only by learning the truth can we exit the darkness. Only by learning the truth can we get out of the darkness and into the kingdom of God. And to learn the truth is to be sanctified, because according to the prayer of the Son of God, he says, sanctify them, his disciples, in the truth. Thy word is truth. And then he says about those who will come to him through the testimony of his disciples. They will be sanctified with the truth. The truth is this, and only this, and will always only be this. The testimony of the Son of God, period. Period. The truth is the testimony of Jesus. And that's why in Revelation 12, 17, it very clearly and succinctly says, those whom the woman who gave birth to the Son of God, well, no, it's the Son of God, it's very clear it's the Son of God, the last of her offspring, those who are born at the end of time, have two distinct qualities, and that's it. Keep the commandments of God, and they hold to the testimony of Jesus. Why do they hold to the testimony of Jesus? Because that's the only truth. It is the truth.
And you see, if Jesus had meant hold to the testimony of the Bible,
yeah,
he would have told John that. You see, what we do is we discount what Jesus says all along on this. We belittle it and make it of none effect by putting words in his mouth. Oh, Jesus didn't mean that. He meant this.
Now, the testimony of Jesus includes a reaffirmation of the law of prophets. The testimony of Jesus includes the law and the prophets, because he included it. Not the least stroke of the pen or the smallest mark will pass from the law until all is accomplished.
Matthew 5:17.
Well, wow.
That was one of the fastest that we've, that went by really quick. I want to encourage our listeners to join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. Take a look at our website at spiritoftruthministry.net. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis Neufeld saying so long for now. We'll see you all tomorrow and have a wonderful and great day.